Okay, can everyone hear me? Can you give me a thumbs up? Am I coming through clearly? Yeah? Okay, good. So we're still having technical struggles. By the time we've mastered this, we'll be meeting again in public. So bear with me one sec. Okay. Right, morning, good to see you all. You're seen but not heard. This is very odd. I'm not getting any interaction or any noise. I have got Sarah in the room with me, so hopefully I'll get a little bit of audience participation. So we are still in our preaching series on growth and multiplication, and the plan all along was for me to preach on prayer today, which seems very apt. So today I'm going to be preaching on prayer-ish. I'm going to mix it in with one or two other things that I feel that God has laid on my heart. I believe God's given us a word for us in season. For those of you that have been following the devotional this week, will know that we've been looking at prayer. And we've been working our way through the Lord's Prayer. So hopefully you've been joining with us in that. If you still haven't joined us on that journey, then I encourage you to jump in. Tomorrow morning, we're working through four themes on building strong foundations into our lives. And it goes without saying that everything has been disrupted. And we're treading in uncharted territory, and we find ourselves in a strange land where none of us have been before. And I was reminded in my prep of the Israelites who were in exile in Babylon. They were exiled from Jerusalem, taken into Babylon, into a strange and a foreign land. And this is the context for Psalm 137, and this is where I want to begin today. And these words may be familiar to you if you are Boney M fans, by the rivers of Babylon. So this is what we read from the psalmist. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion, or Jerusalem, the nation of Israel. There on the poplars, we hung our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Sing us one of those praise songs that you sung in the nation of Israel. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a strange land, the psalmist writes? How can we possibly sing our songs to the Lord when we're in a strange land, when we're in a foreign land, when we're in a land of uncertainty, in a land of captivity, in a land of bondage, in a land of hopelessness? And we find ourselves, church, in a strange land, in an uncertain land called COVID-19. And we have the same question hanging over us today as they did, as the Israelites did when they were in captivity in Babylon. How can we possibly find the song to sing in a strange and a foreign land? And the answer is simply this. We have to choose to find the song. We have to choose to worship our God. We have to choose to find the song of praise. And for those of you that are Ren Collective fans will know that they've released their new album this week, and it's called Choose to Worship, and it's very apt. They've been recording this for some time, and they release it in the middle of what's going on now. And I'm just going to read a chorus and a bridge to you. I will praise you through the fire, through the storm and through the flood. There is nothing that can ever steal my song. In the valley, you are worthy. You are good when life is not. You will always and forever be my song. When the enemy says I'm done, I lift my praises. When my world comes crashing down, I lift my praises high. Till the darkness turns to dawn, I lift my praises. I choose to worship. I choose you now. I love that line. Till the darkness turns to dawn, I lift my praises. Church, until the darkness turns to dawn, we choose to lift our praises to our God. Until the darkness turns to dawn, will you choose to lift your praises to God? Give me a thumbs up. Yeah. If you're a worshiper in this season of darkness, what else can we do? What else can we do? Should we sit by the river of Babylon weeping like the Israelites did? I don't know about you, but I've been called by God not to cower in the corner. I've been called to praise my God and to pray to my God through all seasons. in the mountains and in the valleys, until the darkness turns to dawn, through the fire, through the trial, through the storm. I have to decide for myself. It's a choice that only I can make. It's a choice that only you can make, church, to lift up your song, to lift up your praise, to lift up your prayers, to call upon the one who is able, to call upon the one who is seated upon his throne, to call upon the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is in control, who holds the world in the palm of his hand, that he holds your life in the palm of his hand. Simultaneously, he holds it all together. We have reason to praise our God. And this is a true act of faith, isn't it? Will we reach out to God when our backs are against the wall? And faith lives between a rock and a hard place. That's where faith is. It's between a rock and a hard place, where our backs are against the wall, when we're pushed into a corner. And we need to find the faith to sing. And not just for ourselves, church. We need to find a song for the world around us at this time. We need to find a song for our neighbors. We need to find a song for our families. We need to find a song for the nations of this world. And Jeremiah 29, which you will know very well, which starts, "For I know the plans I have for you." And this was given to Israel through the prophet Jeremiah whilst they were in captivity, while they were in exile in Babylon, whilst they were sitting at the river weeping. This was what was given to them, the words of God through the prophet. "I know the plans I have for you." Let's just pause for a minute. The inference here is that we don't know. We don't know the plans God has for us. We see in part, God reveals it piece by piece. It's a walk of faith with God. It's a journey of faith. But God knows. The inference here is God is almost saying to us, "I've got this. I know the plans. I know the future from the end. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I know how this thing pans out over the next 2 weeks, over the next 2 months, for the next however long this period of captivity, in inverted commas, lasts for us." God says, "I know. I know the plans. I know. You may not know, but I know. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Remember, this is written whilst they're in exile, in captivity. "I know the plans I have for you. They're plans of hope, they're plans of future, they're plans of promise. Then you will call on me, CLC, and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity." Are you all still hearing me? You all still with me?
Yeah.
Awesome. God's plans are good. God's plans are good. We can be assured of that. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. That is unchanging. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God, and he's a good God. He's a faithful God. And we can find comfort in him. He says, "I've got this." He says, "I've got this." And you know, there's a part for us to play in all of this. And we read there that Jeremiah says, "Call on me, come and pray to me, and seek me." So in all of this, we are to be seekers of God. We are to seek him first. And as we back up a few verses in verse 7, we read, Jeremiah says, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." So we're to seek our God, but we're also to seek peace and prosperity for our city, for our nation, for the nations. And pray there is the word palau. And I had to get Greek in there somewhere. And it means to intercede, to mediate, to stand in the gap. So the instruction here is to pray for peace and prosperity, to intercede, to stand in the gap for this nation, to stand in the gap for your neighbors, to stand in the gap for family members. And this word prosper is shalom. Shalom means peace. It means soundness, it means safety, it means welfare, it means health, it means wholeness. These are great things to be praying for right now. For the shalom peace of God, safety, soundness, welfare, health, wholeness, and peace. Prosperity here is not a financial thing. It's not about financial blessing. It's about a peace blessing. It's about finding the peace of God. And Jeremiah instructs the people to pray, to seek God and to seek his peace. And we know, don't we? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So here's the wonderful playoff. As we seek Jesus, we find peace. And as we seek peace, we find Jesus, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Come and call on me and pray to me and I will listen, God says. You will seek me and you will find me. I will be found by you. God is attentive to our prayers. God is attentive to those that cry out to him, that choose to seek him first, that choose to worship by the rivers of Babylon, not to weep, not to cower, not to slink away, but to find the song and to find the faith to pray and seek out our God. And he is attentive. He is attentive to every prayer you're praying. He is attentive to every song of praise that you lift up in the midst of uncertainty. And we can find God in this. That is the invitation to us right now. God meets us in the storm. Jesus was found in the midst of the storm, in complete peace. And it wasn't, the peace wasn't beyond the fact that there was a storm raging, but he had peace beyond understanding. Jesus had peace beyond circumstance, beyond what was going on around. Jesus is not fazed by the storm called COVID-19. He's not fazed. He has complete peace, wholeness, soundness, safety within the midst of it. And we're to seek God, not just for ourselves, we're to seek him for others. We need to intercede for this world through praise and through prayer. And that is my premise this morning. That is the aspect of prayer I want to draw our attention to, is intercession. And in this cultural moment of fear, anxiety, uncertainty, I believe, church, we have an incredible opportunity before us as the church to stand in the gap and pray. Standing in the gap, intercession is you filling the void. It's you filling the gap where people can't pray or don't even know they can pray or should pray. It's us standing in the gap and saying, we will lift up a prayer where you aren't. We will lift up a song of praise where you can't. And actually, that is intercession. Is we stand in the gap, we mediate, we intercede, we represent this world to God, and we call upon his name. And this is a wonderful chance for us to show love through prayer. And we, you know, as we've said, we are limited in ways we can show practical love, and there are certain things we can do and ways we can reach out to a point. But there's one thing that lockdown and self-isolation will not shut down, and that's your ability to pray. Your self-isolation cannot lock down your ability to call on the name of our God. Amen. Yeah. Thumbs up. Amens.
Amen.
That's it. Love the sign. Love the sign, Joy. And you know, the church in Acts was a praying church. In Acts 1:14, we read that they all joined together constantly in prayer. And in Acts 2:1, it says they were all together in one place. And in Acts 4:2, it says they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Yes, we have to pray for ourselves. We want to pray for our families, and that's petition prayer. But we need to seize the opportunity to strengthen this muscle in this season. When you're behind closed doors, you've got time to kill, time to occupy yourselves. This is a time to strengthen the muscle of faith. This is the time to strengthen the muscle of prayer. This is the time for you to press into God like never before. We have time on our hands where we can truly invest in devotional time with God. And this is our moment. We've been given a gift by God, the gift of time, the thing that we all struggle with more than anything. But time is the biggest struggle in my life to lay a hold of and to get grips on. And this is an opportunity we all have to invest ourselves into God at this time. And we need to strengthen this muscle for ourselves, but we need to strengthen it for others. And I came across this poem, and it's called the Lord's Prayer poem. I'm going to read it for you. You cannot pray the Lord's Prayer and even once say I. You cannot pray the Lord's Prayer and even once say my. Now, can you pray the Lord's Prayer and not pray for one another? Sorry, nor can you pray the Lord's Prayer and not pray for one another. You see, I'm not a poet. And when you ask for daily bread, you must include your brother, for others are included in each and every plea. From the beginning to the end of it, it does not once say me. The Lord's Prayer is a shared prayer. And we pray it for one another. I want to give you 3 points around intercession or intercessory prayer this morning. And point one is this. Intercession is rooted in love. It's grounded in love. Think of Queen Esther, who stood before the king at the risk of losing her life because of love, because she loved her people, to the point where she was willing to sacrifice her life to reach out to the king, to reach out for mercy. So the test of how much you really love others is in how much you are willing to act selflessly towards them. In action, yes, indeed. And as I said, we're restricted as to what we can actually do indeed to act in love, but in prayer, absolutely. You know, we see a very confused world right now, a very fearful world. It's very obvious. And there are those that are acting extremely selfishly to look after number one, to look after themselves. But there are many, many people who are laying down their lives for others. We know that there are many on the front line, teachers, NHS, the emergency services, the list is endless. And I read that there are 7,500 former NHS staff that have rejoined the health service over this time to help tackle COVID-19, which is an amazing thing. Come out of retirement. And there are 750,000 members of the general public who have volunteered to be NHS responders, to come and support the NHS in whatever ways they can. Transporting prescription, making a phone call to those who are lonely and vulnerable, transporting patients. The government were hoping for 250,000 volunteers to step forward and fill this gap, and they've had 750,000, and the number is growing, which is absolutely amazing. There are countless men and women acting out of love and care and concern for others. And we acknowledge them, we thank them, let's praise God for them. Let's pray for the NHS, let's pray for those that are out there battling on the front line. It's tough, it's hardcore. Let's lift them up in prayer, our government, of course. We, the church, have a mandate from God. Actually, it's a command from God, and it's this. Jesus said, you can sum it all up in this. Love the Lord your God and love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's a command. It's a mandate, but it's a command. There's no wiggle room here. We're called to love our God and we're called to love one another. And that love it talks about is agape love. We know that very well. It's self-sacrificial. It's unmerited. It's unfavored. It's not earned. It's not a love that is merited. It's not earned. It's given sacrificially. It's given anyway. It's a love above and beyond. It's a love regardless. And it's self-sacrificial. It's the same love that we find in the Father when he so loved the world, he so agape'd the world that he gave Jesus to die on the cross for us. In Romans 5:8, it said, God demonstrated his own love, agape for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's the same love that we're commanded to love with, that the Father loved us with, that the Father loved this world with. This is the heart of intercession, church. The heart of intercession is the heart of the gospel, which is a heart of love, agape love, a love which gives sacrificially, generously, willfully. It's that kind of love we're called to love our God with and to love one another with. And where do you get this kind of love? Because this doesn't come easy. This doesn't come naturally. It certainly doesn't to me. Romans 5:5, just a couple of verses earlier than that verse we just read, says that God's love, God's agape love, has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We need the Holy Spirit this time. And we need the Holy Spirit for his comfort. We need the Holy Spirit for his counsel. We need the Holy Spirit because he points us to Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit because he empowers us for witness. But we need the Holy Spirit because he fills our heart with supernatural love. That's where we go to for this kind of agape love, this self-sacrificial love. You can't manufacture this. You can't man-make this. You can't buy this on the shelf if there's be any left in the supermarket by the time you get there. This comes from the Holy Spirit. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. If you're a child of God, you have the Spirit of God living within you. And it's that Spirit which enables us to find that supernatural love, beyond natural ability, to love, to pray, to reach out. We have to pray for our world right now, believing that God can intervene. Do you believe that God can intervene, that God hears our prayers?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Go, Joy. Right. Point two is this. Intercession is fervent and persistent. Intercessory prayer is fervent and persistent. In Acts 12, and I'm not going to read it because of time, we find Peter, the great apostle Peter, in prison. And the church is praying for Peter. And what happens is we find that Peter is set free. The chains fall off. And there is an angel that appears. And it leads Peter past the prison guards and through an iron gate, which supernaturally opens by itself. This gate flings open. Peter escapes. But here's what we find in verse 5. The church was earnestly praying to God for him, for Peter. The church was earnestly praying for Peter. And the message puts it this way. The church prayed for Peter most strenuously. And the word earnest there is ektenos, which means earnestly, it means fervently, it means intensely. So the church were found in the midst of trial, in the midst of Peter being found in prison, locked away. They were praying earnestly, fervently, and intensely. And it's the same word used to describe how Jesus prayed on the Mount of Olives before the crucifixion took place in Luke 22. And it describes how his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And it says that he prayed most earnestly. He prayed most earnestly to the point where his sweat was becoming drops of blood. Are we praying until our veins pop with fervency? Are we praying and contending until we see breakthrough? And not only for COVID-19, but also whatever's going on in your life, whatever you need breakthrough in right now in your life. And it may be overcoming fear. That's a very real thing which we are all facing to some measure, is dealing with fear, uncertainty about the future. Are you praying to the point where your veins are popping? And are you contending until you find the breakthrough? And by breakthrough, I mean ultimately finding the peace of God which transcends all understanding. Are you praying with perseverance? And Paul's exhortation to the church in Ephesians 6:18 is, pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and all supplication. To that end, keep alert, with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And you know, with prayer, this is important to understand. We don't have to understand why. Why this? Why that? But we keep going until we get the answer, until we find peace. Peace is beyond understanding. Prayer actually is beyond understanding. And God does show us. God does reveal certain things in terms of understanding. But we're to pray, we're to seek our God regardless of understanding. And we will find peace. We will find Christ sleeping in the storm. Point three then. Three-point sermon. Intercession requires words. Intercessory prayer requires words. Acts 4:24. We read that the church, the first church, raised their voices. Say with me, I can't hear it, but say at home, raise their voices.
Raise their voices.
Now say it like you mean it. Raise their voices.
Raise their voices.
Joy, I think I can hear you from here. They raise their voices in prayer to God. In Psalm 142, the psalmist writes, I cry aloud to the Lord. Shout out where you are, aloud.
Aloud!
Aloud! I cry aloud to the Lord. I wish I could hear you shouting right now. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift my voice to the Lord of mercy. I lift my voice. I cry aloud to the Lord of mercy. And the Passion Translation says this, I lift up my voice boldly. Are you lifting your voice boldly to your God? And let me just say this, I'm not saying prayer in your head or praying quietly is invalid. God hears every prayer, God hears every thought, God hears the cry of your heart. I'm not invalidating that. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. Absolutely. Pray in your heart, pray in your mind, pray with all kinds of prayers. But there is something that I want us to recognize, and especially where it comes to intercessory prayer and calling on the name of God. There is something significant in power in speaking out and crying aloud to God. You know, one of the problems with internalizing our prayers in our mind is that our mind is a minefield. It's a jumble of 1,000 things. It's a jumble of, it's a myriad of thoughts going on in our mind all at one time. And you know, our thoughts can get in the way of the spirit and get in the way of our spirit. Closing your eyes and worrying is not prayer. Let me say that again. Closing your eyes and worrying is not prayer. The Bible says we are to take every thought captive. But here's the thing. We don't fight our mind with our mind. You don't fight your mind in your mind. You fight your mind with your mouth. And with words specifically that come from the word. From the word. Show me your Bible. If you've got a Bible there, just put it in front of your camera. There we go. That's it. It's good to see so many of you with a physical Bible. We don't fight our mind with our mind. We fight our mind with our mouth that is filled with words from the words. And let me quantify this. In Revelation 1:16, we see this wonderful transcendent picture of Jesus. It's Jesus as he is right now. And this is the picture that John, on the island of Patmos, in isolation, this revelation that he has. John had this incredible encounter with God. That's where the book of Revelation is written, with a man who knew God in isolation. That's where we get revelation from. A man in isolation, on an island, by himself, meeting with his God. Let's trust for great revelation at this time when we're in our homes and we're in isolation. But I'm off my notes. So we read about this Jesus, and in Revelation 1:16, it talks about Jesus. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because I've got to wrap this up in 5 minutes. And it says that coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. So coming out the mouth of Christ, our Jesus, was a sharp, double-edged sword. Let me say this. There is power in the declaration of prayer. There is power in the declaration of praise. There is power in the declaration of the word. It was the word of God coming from the mouth of Jesus. That double-edged sword, that sharp double-edged sword, the sword of the Spirit represents the word of God, the word, which is Christ. So Jesus, coming from his mouth, was the word of God. It's a powerful picture. And that's what happens when we speak forth praise, when we speak prayer, when we declare the word, it's like a double-edged sword coming from the mouth. And it divides and it takes down every thought, every lie, every deceptive word of the enemy. It takes it down. The declared word of God will disarm every thought that has become a stronghold in our minds. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing. Finish it. That's right. And hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, not by thinking. Faith doesn't come by thinking. Faith doesn't even come by reading. Faith comes by hearing. And the only way you hear is to speak or to be spoken to. Faith comes by hearing the declared word of God. Faith comes by hearing prayers. Isn't it wonderful when we hear people praying with faith? It releases faith in us. Faith comes by hearing, not thinking, not internalizing. And you know, the scriptures in the Bible and through history, through Hebrew history, the scriptures were read aloud. Firstly, because Bibles didn't exist. When you read in Bible times, the scriptures didn't exist in the form that we have it now, so readily available to us. They didn't have apps, of course. They didn't have smartphones. And the scriptures would be read aloud publicly from the scrolls. And the public reading of scripture, the declared word of God, started at Mount Sinai, where Moses declared scripture over the nation of Israel. They've just been delivered out of captivity. And they find themselves at this poignant moment where God's about to secure them in a new identity as the people of God. And Moses declares the word of God over them. They hear and faith is released. When they arrived in the promised land, Joshua read scripture over them. And we read about Ezra in the book of Nehemiah, where he stood up before the nation of Israel and read the book of the law over the nation. And we see, even as we skip into the New Testament, just to skip forward, Jesus actually practiced this. And it was a custom in Jewish life where the scriptures would be read in the synagogue weekly. And Jesus goes to the synagogue on one occasion. He stands up and he takes the scroll of Isaiah and he speaks about himself. He declares and reads the word of God. And he personalizes it and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me." And so he goes on. And Paul also instructs Timothy to keep this practice of preaching, teaching, and reading the scriptures alive. Don't underestimate the power of praying out loud and putting the word of God into your mouths. You are allowed to pray aloud. Say that to yourself, out loud, that is. I am allowed to pray aloud. Say it again, because I couldn't hear you. I am allowed to pray aloud. You are allowed. You have permission. And as you pray, you will find faith released in your own heart. As you pray with others, as you speak out, you will find faith is released in their hearts, because faith comes by hearing. So let's stand in the gap in this way. Three things to pray for, and this is where I finish. Let's pray for peace. Let's intercede for peace for ourselves, for our neighbors, for the nations. Pray for peace. Psalm 122, 6-9. The psalmist writes, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your peace." And we know that the Lord is at hand. Philippians 4, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Secondly, let's pray for our government. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for the frontline staff at this time. 1 Timothy 2, 1-2. "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and holiness." The will of God is for us to pray for our leaders, not to complain about our leaders. We're not to accuse our leaders. We're to pray for our leaders. If we start accusing and complaining, then we're joining with the accuser of the brethren, which is Satan. I don't want to be on the side of Satan. And actually, if we start complaining and accusing our government, we're coming against the will of God. And we'll find ourselves in opposition to God. This is a time to pray for, not at the government, not to complain about them, but to pray for them. And in love, with supernatural love. And thirdly, and this is where I finish, we pray for revival. Church, we are not just praying for survival. This isn't about surviving. This is about thriving and beyond that, reviving. We're not praying for survival. We're praying for revival. Give me a thumbs up if you're believing for revival as a result of this. Yes. Yes. We're praying for salvations across the nations. We're praying for a contagious awakening to God. We're still believing for growth and multiplication. That's still the vision. That's still what we're going for. We're still believing for that. We're praying that we will see outpouring where there has been outbreak. Mark Sayers says this, and I quote, "Revival comes in strange packages. Let's not miss the gift. Revival comes in strange packages. Let's not miss the gift. Let's not miss this gift of time that's been given to us. Let's not miss this gift that we have to seek our God, to stand in the gap, to intercede, to praise our God by the river, rather than weeping our way through. The power of the church lies in prayer. The power of the church lies in prayer. CLC, now is the time to pray in your homes, with your families. Friday morning, 7 a.m., we've got 50 people participating here, or 50 plus some, 50 people tuning in with kids and spouses. So I don't know how many we've got tuning in, maybe 100 of you. Let's pack the prayer meeting on Friday morning. If you're not working, and I'm pretty sure 99.9% of you will be at home, if you are not going to a workplace, then join us to pray at 7 o'clock this Friday morning and let's rend the heavens. Let's pray for revival. Let's pray for peace. Let's pray for our government, etc. Let's pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And I just want to finish. I want to pray for you. And then I'm going to hand back to Steve as well. So, Father, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for this incredible gift you've given us in this season of turmoil, in this season of exile, in one respect, in this strange and foreign land that we find ourselves in, that you've given us the gift of faith. You've given us the gift of prayer. You've given us the gift of praise. You've given us the gift of seeking your face, seeking you and seeking peace. And I want to pray peace over every person here this morning. I pray peace over CLC, peace over the storm in their hearts and in their minds, peace over anxiety, peace which passes understanding. Father, I just pray that we would find a firm foundation. You are the cornerstone on which we build our lives. And I pray more than ever, we would strengthen that muscle in our lives. We would strengthen that foundation through declaring the word, through declaring praise, through speaking aloud, Lord God, who you are, and speaking aloud the promises of God, and speaking aloud with faith and calling upon our God at this time. God, we trust you. We believe you hear our prayers. We believe you respond to our prayers. And God, just enable us by your Spirit. Pour out your love into our hearts by your Spirit so that we can reach out at this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Danny. Fantastic word. There's clapping going on in my house. And rapid making of signs. I think this could be the sign of things to come. Yeah. Everybody's putting up their signs.